Ready to worship, right? Amen. Let's bow. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Silence your phones. There you go. All right. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come into your presence, and we thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy, your grace, that you're the God of all grace, you're the God of all comfort. You're the God of all wisdom. And Lord, when we think upon you and your attributes, you're beyond comprehension. Although you do reveal yourself in our conscience and nature and mostly in your word. Father, you're thankful that you didn't leave us to ourselves to try to figure out things. You've given us your Holy Scriptures, which reveal to us all we can know about you. And we look forward to the day when we will see you full in your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And then we'll begin our journey of eternity, of learning about you, the infinite God. What a mighty thought. Lord, help us to understand that you are our everything and that we are nothing without you. So grow us in the grace and the knowledge of you. Be with our time as we study and as we go into the time of prayer and worship. Lord, just meet with us today. Draw us close. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The attributes of God. I don't know that there's a greater endeavor in our studies of scriptural things than to study the topic of theology and that of God. So it's my privilege today to teach on the attribute of the spirituality of God. The spirituality of God. And I've enjoyed studying and researching and looking into this, and I'm excited to share this information with you today. So the attribute of God's spirituality is probably the most difficult to understand because we're entering a territory outside as it relates to things we know. And I'll unfold that in a minute. So we can understand to a degree some of the attributes of God, like his omnipotence. That means he's all powerful. I mean, we know what power is. We can kind of understand power. But then we attribute all power to God. Any power that is comes from God. Our very ability to live and move and have our being, to tie our shoes, to stand up and walk, is from the power of God. We can also think about knowledge. We know what knowledge is, and thus God being omniscient, he has all knowledge. He knows all things about everything. There's nothing that he doesn't know. There's nothing hidden from him. He knows all things. Now, maybe a little bit more difficult as we move toward the spirituality of God would be the omnipresence of God. That God is present everywhere. Now, we know what it means to be present. We're all present here this morning. Now, we could be somewhere else in our minds. And maybe some of you are, but I hope not. But we could be somewhere or think about being somewhere else, but we can only be in one place at one time. But God is everywhere. He's present everywhere. So, When we think about the attribute of God's spirituality, we're entering into the unknown. We go beyond our senses, beyond that which we can experience. We can know something, know what something is by looking at it. We can look at something and know what that is. We can handle something and maybe know what that is. We can hear something. We can hear a train. Maybe we don't see the train, but we hear the horn of the train. We hear the roar of the train. We know, hey, there's a train coming. So we know what things are by our senses. We can smell or taste something, or even by a simple description of something, we know what it is. By the way, Jimmy's jealous this morning. I've got the new screens I get to use, and I get to do it first, so amen. Isn't that's going to be nice, isn't it? Especially with the preaching time and people in up there. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever sat up there, but if you're sitting in certain sections, it's kind of hard to see the preacher, so that'll be up there now. So that's going to be very helpful. We're thankful for that and all the work that went into getting that about. So what is that? We see something burning. We see a picture. We know that that's fire. What's that? What? Motivation? What is that? Y'all can answer. What is that? Okay. What is it? What is it? It's wood. It's wood and it's metal or iron, or the metal composition's made up of certain alloys probably. So things are made up of things. More simply, I could just say some words and you would have a picture in your mind of what that is. You know, like pig, scissors, ladder, shoe. Now this is where we can get into trouble if we're not careful in thinking about God. If we try to put an image to God. What happens if we do that? We may be breaking a commandment, right? You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that it is earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. So we know we're not to make an idol and worship that, even something that pertains to God. You know, we have these statues in certain places or these different things, and we're not worshiping the statue. We're not worshiping the thing. It just helps us get in the mind to think about God. Right? That's okay, right? No. So even as we think in our mind, we need to be careful about putting an image or thinking about an image that we can worship. We worship God. We worship Him. So when we talk about the spirituality of God, we're trying to describe what He is. Now, all the previous illustrations of things that we can see or think of, they're made up of other things. We are made up of bone and water and blood and muscle and sinew and cartilage and so forth. But even those things are made up of minerals and elements and down to the atoms. When we think of God, who made all things, God made all things. Therefore, He's outside of the makeup of those things. He does not consist of any minerals or elements or atoms. So let's think about that. God said to Moses, I believe Pastor Jeff touched on this passage last week relating to Moses, when he asked God, all right, you want me to go and deliver your people out of Egypt, but who should I tell them has sent me. If I go on my own authority, they're not going, but you, God, are telling me to go. Who do I tell them has sent me? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Your translation might say, I am that I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. What is he saying? What is he meaning? I believe that he's saying, you cannot tell them what I'm like. You cannot tell them who I am, because you cannot compare me to anything that you know. You cannot compare me to anyone that you know. I am unlike anything that you know. I am that I am. I am what I am. I am who I am. I am God, and there is none else. There's none like unto me. So what does that mean? It means he's transcendent. He transcends or goes beyond all that we know things to be. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You can't compare. You don't understand. I am, it's not that I'm just smarter than you. It's not that I'm just bigger than you. I transcend further than the heavens are above the earth. Psalm 50, 20, 22. Think of this. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself. You thought I was a man like you are. You thought I would look over something. You thought I would just not recognize what you were doing. But now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Mark this then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver. That's a stern warning, isn't it? That we can't think of God like a man. We can't think of God in terms that we think of one another or even highly important people. And when we begin to think of him in ways that he's not lower than what he really is, he says, you forget me. You forget who I am. You forget what I am. So let's not think of God as a mere man. So what is God? What is God? This is not a question that children often ask. They may ask it, but more often they're asking, where does God live? Where did God come from? They may ask, what does God look like? But not often do they ask, what is God? What is he? What is he made up of? Here's where he's different than all other beings. God is a being. He is the only pure being. And from him, all other beings have their being. He is the supreme, ultimate being. So, the spirituality of God, God is pure being, and God is the only pure being. In 1 Corinthians 15, 38, talking about the resurrection there, and it states there that God has given everything a body. And he talks about different bodies or different beings. There's one body for man. There's one body for the beast. There's one body for the birds. There's one body for the fish. But then he says, we're sown a natural body. And we're raised, what? A spiritual body. So these bodies that he talks about, God is a person. He's not a man, but he's a person. And he's not just a person, he's three persons. Three persons, one essence. What do we know that as, of course, is the Trinity. The Trinity. Someone has said, try to comprehend the Trinity and you'll lose your mind. Deny it and you'll lose your soul. So God is a person, three persons, one essence. So what is God? We're thinking through all these things that we are, that we see, these things that we are. So what is God? Well, he's not a man. He is a person. And he is a spirit. God is spirit. Now here's our proof text, of course, John 4:24, where Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and going through that dialogue, and he makes this statement, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Your translation may say, God is spirit. And I believe that would be the more correct translation. Because there's not an indefinite article in the Greek. There's a definite article, the, but there's no indefinite article. And so when it says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, it's more likely that it's God is spirit. It's written the same way as we have God is light. We wouldn't say God is a light, or God is love. We wouldn't say God is a love. So in this passage, in this text, it's saying God is spirit. And here is an attribute that we have of God that Jesus himself identifies his Father as. God is spirit. I want to point out that while the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, and he is spirit, but we're talking about the essence of God being spirit, it is a different category of study, we'll say, as we approach the attributes of God. In both the Old Testament Hebrew and the New Testament Greek, the word spirit means breath, or wind. We can get that from the wind blows where it listeth, where it wills. We can hear the sound thereof, but we don't know from whence it comes or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit. Wind, breath. You know, some would say that we couldn't relate that wind is like the Spirit, because the wind is made up of certain things, right? The wind is made up of oxygen, nitrogen, all the elements that are in air. I think it could be more of something. There's air right here. And it may or may not be moving, but what's pushing the wind? What's making the air move? There's some force behind that. Where's that? And that is more like, we can say, spirit. Not that it is a spirit, but that's kind of getting our minds in that We don't know where it comes. We don't know where it's going. So is everyone that is born of a spirit, of the Spirit. Now we have a spirit. We have a spirit, we have a soul. And that in essence is who we are. Boy, I'm running out of time quick. I wanted to go into something there, but so as we get into this, let's think about this. Can we really comprehend that? It's incomprehensible. God is we cannot understand or know fully what God is. Therefore, the way he is described in his attributes of spirituality is by things that he's not. We describe this attribute of the spirituality of God by things that he's not, like this. He's not comprehensible. He cannot be comprehended fully. So he's incomprehensible. He's immaterial. Now, there's a couple of definitions to that word. You wouldn't say that God is immaterial, as we know it, not being important or of no importance, irrelevant. Because God's far from that, right? He's the main important person. He's the most relevant being. Another definition of that is spiritual, not physical, incorporeal, not consisting of matter or of material substance, having no form. God's center is everywhere. His circumference is nowhere. Thomas Watson. So if he's immaterial, if he's not made up of anything, he's outside of that which is made and that which is created. He's doesn't have a form. He's not made up of matter. Then he must be invisible, unseen, incapable by nature of being seen, inaccessible from view. I think we sing the song, don't we? Immortal, invisible, God only wise. By faith, he, Moses, left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. How do you see him who is invisible? And he said, you cannot see my face. This is later, as Moses was on the mountain receiving the law, and he asked God, show me your glory. And we know the story there. And he said, you can't see my face, for there shall no man see my face and live. Now unto the king, here's where we get the song from Paul speaking to young Timothy. Now unto the king, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Then we have the words from John's commentary. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Again, John says in 1 John, no one has seen God at any time. So he's invisible. He's immaterial. He's infinite. You see how these are negatives? He's not material. He's not visible. He's not finite. We are finite. We are beings who change. We grow. We get old. We get sick. We eventually die. God does none of these things. This is another hard or impossible thing to comprehend, the attribute, his infinite, infinity. Not only does it mean not finite, it means unnumbered, an infinite amount. How much is an infinite amount? It just keeps going. And when we think about the God being infinite, He's infinite in all of His attributes, right? He's infinite in His power. He's infinite in His love, His knowledge. He is bigger and greater than an eternity will be able to teach us all there is to know about Him. Infinite. Eternity's not going to be too long. It's going to be glorious as we're learning of our infinite God. Oh, we must hurry. God is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I were to declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. The incomprehensible, unknowable, unable to be known God makes Himself known. Oh, this is good. He makes Himself known. He's made Himself known in our conscience. That which may be known of God is manifest in them, for He hath showed it unto them. We know there's a God. How do we know there's a God? I'm going to put it as simple. Because we're alive. Because we are living, our very life is evidence that we didn't make ourselves. We didn't cause ourselves to be. We are alive because there is a maker of us. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No one will be able to stand before God on the day of judgment and say, I didn't know. Look around. Look up. He's everywhere declaring Himself. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show His handiwork. Now, do you want to know everything you can know about God? Yes. You can know. You can know. Oh, a few quick verses. Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. We can see God in Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus said to him, Philip asked, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Oh, Philip, have I not been so long with you, and still you don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. Do you know God? Do you want to go know God? You can know Him. Let's bow. Father, thank you so much that we could never even scratch the surface of who you are. But thank you that you give us so many insights in your word. But then, above all, you give us Christ, God in human flesh. Bless this day in Christ's name. Amen.